word. I am famously forgetful about that one very important step. So while you're filling that out, I'm going to start just setting up that it is May 24th, 5:15 p.m. We're at Chapel Hill Public Library. I'm Molly Luby, and Hannah Olson is going to be sharing her pandemic story.
You just said the date. I already forgot.
5/24/22.
Thank you. All right.
All right. Perfect. Thank you very much. So I put the questions out there for you, but before we even dive into them, a lot of times people, you know, when they sign up for this, already have some things that they want to talk about. And so I want to just open it up to start with, like, if you have a story in mind or if you have just experiences you want to share.
Yeah, I mean, the questions were actually a pretty helpful framework. So I spent a lot of time thinking about this. Most of the pandemic I was working as a reporter, so I've kind of been inundated with pandemic things, and every story it felt like it was being framed as this happening during a pandemic, or this thing is not happening and it usually happens, and that sort of thing. And I'm kind of a meticulous documenter of my own life as well. But I was looking through my like journal entries, and I was really disappointed in my past self because like major world events would be happening and I would just be writing about, like, I don't know, baking bread or whatever. So this was a good opportunity to kind of like look at the whole picture of the pandemic and kind of how I went through it. I'm still going through it. I don't know. That was tricky too, trying to frame that, because I think in my head I keep referring to it as a past tense thing, even though it's still happening.
Yeah, I think it's something that, you know, when I was looking at these questions, what did you do for fun during a pandemic? And I'm like, well, we might need to change some of the tenses here, just because it feels like not only has it not ended, we've reached points where it feels like it's about to be over, but then
right,
it's ramping right back up.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, how would you describe the different stages of the pandemic as you've experienced it?
Well, I would say the pandemic for me has been kind of bookended with job changes and moves. Right before everybody else got laid off, I got laid off in February of 2020. And so I was really miserable at the time, but I ended up being really lucky because I found a new job right before everything shut down. And had I not found that job, and I did, I don't think I would have found one for a long time. So in March of 2020, I was starting a new job, and I was an education and Indigenous issues reporter. And I covered maybe two non-COVID stories, and then they all were COVID stories until I left that job, pretty much, which I had a really interesting angle. I mean, everyone at the newspaper that I was working with was framing things around COVID, but covering schools and covering the Indigenous communities around us was definitely an interesting perspective. And I went to so many socially distant graduation ceremonies and so many like drive-by teacher parades and all of that, but everyone was different and they're all really moving and interesting, and that seemed kind of like the hopeful part of the pandemic, like the 2020 graduation, that era. And I continued working at that newspaper through July of 2021, which is when I moved here. And then I was job searching again, but during the more hopeful job searching area this fall, until I started working here at the library in December. Mm-hmm. So I guess when I think of different stages of the pandemic, I think a lot of the different stories that I was covering, and even the way that I referred to the pandemic, whether it was like blatantly referred to as the new coronavirus pandemic that you might have heard about, to like COVID-19, to just not even having to mention it because it was so obvious. And I remember when it was first starting and people were like taking things off the shelves in grocery stores and there was no toilet paper and that sort of thing, I was sent out to try to get a photo of someone wearing a mask, and that was like so difficult to find. And then eventually it became every event I covered, everyone was wearing masks, which is good on a public health thing, difficult as a photographer to try to get emotions. And I remember that being a really interesting stage. I would say the most like memorable things for me was when I was covering the Red Lake Nation, largest sovereign tribal nation in Minnesota land-wise. And they're a unique community because they're one of the only closed tribal nations in the U.S. And so they fully shut down their borders during the pandemic. So when I was reporting in there, it was super unique. I was like one of the few people who was allowed to go to a lot of these events. And I remember, and this was at the time maybe my 10th socially distant graduation, but it was definitely the most memorable. The Red Lake Nation College had a graduation ceremony. And I had talked to some of the organizers, and I know they were super, super concerned. And they really didn't want to do it virtually, though, because it was such a big deal to this graduating class. And it was a really small class of like 12 students, and a lot of whom had like faced a whole bunch of different barriers. A lot of them were single parents and like wanted to bring their kids along. Mm-hmm. And they made it happen. It was like a drive-up situation. And just everybody was so emotional. Mm. And that has stuck with me for a long time.
Mm. So you just to back up briefly to set the scene. So you're in Minnesota.
Yes, sorry.
No, that's okay. There's yeah.
So I guess the first point of my story, when I first lost my job in February of 2020, I was in International Falls, Minnesota. And that is right up on the Canadian border. And then I moved to Bemidji, Minnesota, which is about 2 hours south of there by car, still super north. Mm-hmm. And then I moved here to Chapel Hill.
To the, yeah. I'm sure the weather couldn't be more different.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
It sounds like a lot of, I think you probably have some really incredible stories as a reporter, like somebody who was like your job was to be like documenting what was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any of your like any clippings or anything?
Oh, definitely.
I
yeah.
wonder if you wouldn't like that might be cool to scan.
Of course.
Some of your clippings into yeah. your page. I don't know. Would you be into that?
For sure.
Okay. Yeah. That's amazing. So you got a really, in some ways, privileged, but maybe it's also like not like difficult position to witness as a witness of what was happening to different people. So in the for the Red Lake, is that what it was? Red Lake.
Red Lake Nation. Yeah.
Red Lake Nation. When they closed their borders, did that have any impact on the COVID numbers?
For a while, yeah. Eventually, it became unrealistic for the borders to remain closed because there are not a lot of grocery stores and things like that. So I don't remember how many months they had it fully closed. But once it reopened, then eventually, yeah, their case numbers rose. But there was a long time that they were significantly lower.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, I won't get sidetracked. what have you been doing for fun?
Oh my goodness. Well, now I'm just excited to live in a place that has restaurants and restaurants that have outdoor seating. where I came from, I felt like I didn't really get to know, well, I got to know the community really well in some ways, but so many of the stores and restaurants were closed almost the whole time I lived there. And there wasn't a ton of them as it was a small town. So coming here and having so many businesses like embrace outdoor seating and things like that, I was really excited to try a bunch of restaurants. So a lot of the times now I end up walking places on Thursday and Friday nights and grabbing food. But as for what I did kind of throughout the pandemic, now still, I went on a lot of walks and took photos. I kind of did all of the generic learn to bake bread sort of things. I'm a big hobby enthusiast, so I've kind of gotten into all of them. I dabbled in candle making, sewing. I've been saying that I'm gonna try to write a book for like years, and so there was some of that. Trying to cook new things, really all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm. That was great. All right, well, you answered the hobby question. So. And we've already sort of touched on how the pandemic has changed your work life, but maybe you can talk about that. Like, if you were a reporter before the pandemic and then after, and how that impacted your work as a reporter.
Yeah, so I actually, there were a lot of aspects that I didn't like about the pandemic and my work, which is having to frame everything around the pandemic and just kind of the doom and gloom about so many of the things that I was writing. But I did like that I was working from home, in that I was writing from home. I still was going out into the community to interview people and things like that, but I liked writing from home and kind of being able to be on my own schedule in that way. But in other aspects, it didn't really change my job as a reporter very much. It was still calling people and going out to meet with people and the same deadlines and that sort of thing. After coming here, I mean, the big changes for me were just mostly about changing jobs and changing industries, but having to work in a mask was new because I'd been working from home for so long. I guess I'd been at events in masks and things like that, but hadn't worn one for like 8 hours a day, so that was an adjustment, but not a big deal or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's when you came to work at the library?
Yep.
Yep. Can you remember the first moments when you were became aware of the pandemic?
Yeah, so I remember, I'm a big New York Times, The Daily listener, so I remember back in, I think, January of 2020, listening to stories out of Wuhan, but I was aware of it happening here, but I didn't become acutely aware until I started my new job, and we were all standing around in the newsroom, and we turned the TV on to watch, like, the first press conference with our governor. And that, after that, everything kind of started to change. And at that point, I had two apartments because I was moving and was stuck in another lease. And I was working waiting tables and bartending in my old city for a little bit. So there was about a month period in March of 2020 until the restaurant I worked at closed, that I was going back and forth on weekends. And I was really concerned because I didn't have the ability to move the rest of my belongings from my old apartment, and my parents were gonna come up with a van, and they couldn't, for some reason or another, come up until, I think it was the weekend of March 24th or something. And at that point, the stay-at-home order was in effect, and so I wasn't sure if they were going to be able to come and help me drive my mattress and stuff. And luckily, they were able to, but I was definitely stressed the whole time that we were going to be, like, stopped and yelled at or something like that. But so that was kind of my personal start to the pandemic.
So you changed jobs, moved, all of this, right? At the like sort of like the moment when everything was shutting down.
Yeah, yep.
It's a big moment of not just pandemic transition, but
right.
Pandemic transition.
I think I only physically worked in that newsroom for 2 weeks.
Oh. Wow. What does it make you feel to look back at things like pictures or journal entries from earlier in the pandemic?
I think I definitely look back through rose-colored glasses. My younger sister moved in with me, like another 2 weeks after my parents helped me move my mattress into my apartment. And I had never expected to be living with my sister again in adulthood. And so those months where we didn't go outside, it was just the two of us hanging out, I look back on pretty fondly, though if you read my journal entries at the time, I don't know if they would reflect that. And I think definitely early in the pandemic, if you were to look at my photos, it's a lot of pictures of bread I baked and poems and that sort of thing. So I don't know, I feel kind of warm nostalgia for those sorts of things, even though at the time I think I was pretty miserable.
Mm-hmm. Probably for a lot of us. And what will you remember most vividly from the past 2 years?
I would probably say the stories that I covered. I remember one of the first pandemic-related stories I got assigned was to go visit an elementary school in town, and it was where all of the children of healthcare workers were being watched. And I followed them around for a while they made art and that sort of thing, because it was the period of time, at least in Minnesota, they had just straight up canceled school for 2 or 3 weeks. So all of the children of healthcare workers were just being supervised. And so I followed them around for a while and talked to them. And that was kind of the first day where I was like, this is going to be a really big deal, and this is going to keep going for a long time. So that's a pretty vivid memory for me.
Mm. How have you stayed in touch with loved ones?
I have not been as good about that as I would like. I would say people that I got in a routine early in the pandemic of having a monthly Zoom or FaceTime or that sort of thing, that has kind of continued. But anyone that I didn't make an effort to connect with early on, I feel like I've kind of drifted away from. I did, I challenged myself to a postcard making project at one point early in the pandemic. And I put on Instagram like, oh, if you want me to send you a postcard, send me your address. And I had some people that surprised me that I didn't think would want to participate in that. And so it was nice to connect with a few like old coworkers and friends from high school and that sort of thing via postcards. But in general, I've been pretty bad about keeping in touch with people.
What was your, who was your first like Zoom social person?
I think the first one we had was Zoom Easter, which I remember being so awful because one of my aunts, who I love her and she is so sweet and definitely had good intentions with this, but she was like, this is the perfect opportunity to add in all of our second and third cousins and our elderly relatives. And there was like 55 people on the Zoom call, and most of them couldn't hear each other. And every once in a while, like Great Uncle John would launch into some story meant only for one person. that sort of thing.
But did your interpersonal relationships change during the pandemic?
Yes and no. I would say there were two relationships that changed quite a bit. One was my sister, because she moved in with me. And yeah, we hadn't really interacted with each other as adults much. And so that was really nice to get to spend a lot of time together. And then my partner, Will, he and I, we'd just recently got engaged. And at the beginning of the pandemic, we were long distance. So, and at that point in time, we'd been long distance for probably 2 years, and we would fly back and forth to see each other like once a month. So beginning of the pandemic was really hard because we didn't see each other at all. But then, I think it might have been around June of 2020, then he moved to Minnesota, and then we saw each other a lot. And then that was an interesting dynamic of all three of us living in an apartment for a while. But that was ultimately really exciting.
Where was he?
He was in Ohio.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. What's the age difference between you and your sister?
She's 22 and I'm 25.
Okay. 3 years.
Yeah.
And congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
That's awesome. In what ways has your mental and emotional health been affected by life in the pandemic?
My mental health, I think I became aware of a lot of issues during the pandemic. I don't know that it really changed much. I've dealt with anxiety stuff pretty much my whole life, and I think that was exacerbated by the pandemic, but also by working in journalism and a bunch of other things. So during the pandemic was the first time that I sought any sort of mental health care, but I don't know that being in the pandemic actually made anything worse or better. And physical health, I haven't gotten COVID, which is shocking. And otherwise, I don't know, I gained some weight. I think most people did, but otherwise I've been fine.
And how do you think living in Chapel Hill shaped your experience of the pandemic?
I was really excited to come here. Mm-hmm. And I was excited to be in a place that cared, not just about the pandemic, but about a lot of things. And there's a lot of great people where I came from, but overwhelmingly by July of 2021 had really stopped caring about the pandemic, and I had seen a lot of ugly things there during the election and was just excited to be somewhere like here. Yeah, I don't know, it was heartening to see people wanting to wear masks and still be supporting each other and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. A year and a half out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what brought you to Chapel Hill?
Will is going to grad school here.
How has the pandemic affected your relationship to your faith or spirituality?
I don't know that it has. I think my relationship with faith and spirituality has been fraught before the pandemic. And if anything, the pandemic, I guess, made it more personal or made me feel less so like I needed to be involved in something organized.
Mm-hmm. How has your thinking about risk changed over the course of the pandemic?
I don't know that my thinking about personal risk has changed that much, but I guess I am... my thinking about how risk can kind of web out and affect other people has changed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything you wish you had done differently earlier in the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, there are some selfish things. Like, I wish that I would have dedicated more time to some creative projects rather than, like, moping around. But I think... at the time, I must have needed to mope, so mm-hmm. It's okay.
You know, I always think about, like, it's like one of those things, like if you're told, just wait here, it'll just be like 5 minutes and you're in the waiting room, then you don't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, right? You're just like, well, I'll just mess around on my phone. But if you knew that you're going to be waiting for 5 hours, your life might take a different turn.
Right. Time.
But it always felt like that, like... I just assume that it's going to be over soon, so I'm just going to do nothing for a little while.
Yeah, I definitely had that. And then I did, when I got the motivation to start projects, and this isn't a pandemic issue, this is just a Hannah issue, that I start way too many projects and don't finish any of them. I bit off a bit more than I could chew with, like, oh, I'm going to do this photo story, and I'm going to spend a bunch of time writing this thing or building this model. I don't know. So
I have yet to meet anybody in real life who got anything done during the pandemic, even though we all,
yeah.
So I think you're, yeah, a good company. Is there anything you wish others had done differently earlier in the pandemic?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know how big to answer that. I mean, of course, I wish that people would have just cooperated and cared more about other people. But on like a small scale, I don't really know. Like when it comes to my friends and family members, I don't really have anything in mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you want to be sure future generations will remember about COVID?
I don't know. I was struggling thinking about this, and that kind of brought me back to what I wrote about. And that was something that I was kind of struggling when I was reporting, was feeling like everything was so negative. And at least with the beat that I was covering, I wasn't covering healthcare. There was a lot of good to be found. So I guess I would want people to remember some of the positive things that came out of all this.
Yeah, I get what you're saying too, because in the early, like when you talk about the nostalgia for the early days and sort of that positive, hopeful vibe, especially in the, like the graduation times that in 2020, totally remember that, and like positive stories from Instagram and at the library, we had all these like happy times, and then it's like, oh.
Yeah.
It didn't get better. But
no.
Yeah, but that was that.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting, like I was thinking about that same question because we did a story that we never actually released for the podcast. We created one about the Spanish flu in Chapel Hill. And I was thinking about, well, what do I wish we could have found and the information that would have been really interesting. And none of it is about the actual numbers or data or information about the sickness. It's all about the life, how life changed, and what, you know, for the human stories, that's what I think all of us wanted to hear, like how it impacted real people and what their things changed in their life. And that's always important, that when I think about like, what do we want for the future? I think that's what we want, because people will be able to find the data.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I just think about, I don't even know how to frame this, but I think of like how many books that I've read that have taken place during things like the Great Depression or World War II, where that was just like an afterthought, where people are just going on about their lives and then casually mention like, oh, by the way, this major world event happened today, that sort of thing. I don't know. And I got pretty hung up on the numbers for a while, refreshing the New York Times map and that sort of thing.
I'm saying.
I remember writing in my journal, like, there are 4 cases in Minnesota.
Oh, no, I remember there was 1 case in Chatham County where I live. 1 case, and I was shocked. The horror. Yeah. Yeah, but you know, one of the other things that I think is super interesting to hear about from people is like, well, what is the meat? Like, what books did you read? What shows did you watch? What movies did you watch? What music did you listen to during this time? Because I think that that's also very interesting, like what are the new the media that was consumed, because I think that's a large part of how we spent.
Oh yeah.
If I'm honest. Yeah
I I think I fell back into like comfort media, definitely for music. I listened to like stuff I listened to from high school, and I remember, I think this is like around Christmas time 2020, I read Little Women again, which I loved and I hadn't read in a long time, and that was like a warm hug. I don't know. I can't think of, I watched Community and Arrested Development in the early pandemic days because I wanted to watch something lighthearted. And then Will and I watched The Sopranos after that, which I needed to take a break from all TV for a while after that to recover. But I don't think I ventured out to at least nothing memorably new for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. And I'm still not ready for anything heavy.
No.
give me fluff. And what do you hope we keep from the pandemic? Anything that changed that you hope doesn't change back?
I couldn't think of anything like big. I was only thinking of small things, like, well, I guess mail-in voting's not small, but mail-in voting. I really, this is a very small town reporter part of me, but I was so grateful for broadcast school board meetings because I could go back and listen to what somebody said, or I could skip through really boring parts. So I think having, and I don't want to go into a local government is important tangent because I'm sure you're with me, but I don't know, especially with a lot of small papers closing and news deserts, I think it's really important that people be able to tune in to local government, and I really hope that they keeping things on Zoom so people can participate.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to here. I hope they do.
Yeah.
But I think that's a really good point. I mean, I guess they have the video, but you can't participate.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are intimidated because as someone who has attended a lot of those meetings, it is pretty much the same people, even the same like concerned citizens, unless there's a hyper-specific issue.
Yeah.
It's the same people.
Yeah.
So I think that's hopefully like a way to ease into it.
Mm-hmm. But. Okay, that's a great idea. Is there anything we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of any major, I didn't make any like irreparable decisions during the pandemic, I don't think. I know a lot of people like bought dogs and had kids and that sort of thing.
You moved across the country.
I did move across the country. I did buy rats.
Tell us about your rats.
They're very good.
What are their names?
Ruby and Stella.
Mm-hmm. And why did you get them as pets?
Well, I don't know. It hit that point where there was just not a lot of new things happening. And I wanted to get a cat. My partner and I had talked about getting a cat. It did not talk about living with my sister, who is super allergic to cats. Mm-hmm. So wanted a lizard or maybe a bunny. And we went to the pet store and the employee said, you absolutely cannot get a bunny if you live in an apartment. They chew through your walls. So we came home with rats.
Mm-hmm. I had pet rats as a kid. I loved them.
They're great.
They are Beauty and Ivy.
Oh, those are good rat names.
They came home from my mom's graduate school class.
Oh my gosh.
Psychology class. So. We get them.
It's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think so.
Nice. Okay, cool. Well, that wraps up the interview portion of this. So I'm gonna stop the recording.